This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, Pope Francis comes to America. To what extent will his visit and words leave a lasting impact? Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. This was a week of firsts. The first visit of Pope Francis to the United States, home to nearly 80 million Catholics. He was the first pope ever to address the U.S. Congress, where he was warmly applauded throughout his 50-minute speech. During his landmark visit to the United States, coming on the heels of his trip to Cuba, the pontiff visited Washington, D.C., New York City, where he addressed the United Nations General Assembly, and Philadelphia. Everywhere he was thronged by crowds of admirers, including many of other faiths. Pope Francis waded into some of the most contentious issues facing the United States, such as the debate over climate change, where he is firmly in the camp of those who concur that it is a result of human actions. He congratulated U.S. President Barack Obama at the White House by saying that, quote, climate change is a problem that can no longer be left to a future generation, unquote. Alluding to immigration and the refugee crisis, he said, like so many in this hemisphere, he was the son of immigrants, and that, quote, foreigners should not be feared because most of us were once foreigners, unquote. He also addressed income inequality, as well as other issues more specific to Catholic doctrine, such as abortion, religious freedom, and the death penalty. In his address to Congress, he called on the members and all Americans to set aside divisions and to renew a, quote, spirit of fraternity and solidarity, cooperating generously for the common good, unquote. Well, with us to discuss the significance and impact of the Pope's historic visit to the United States are two distinguished analysts. Anthony Arendt is professor of government and foreign service at Georgetown University here in Washington. He also helped found the Institute for International Law and Politics at Georgetown. And Marianne Cusumano-Love, she's an associate professor of international relations at the Catholic University of America here in Washington. She's also with the State Department's Working Group on Religion and Foreign Policy, which makes recommendations on how to engage with civil society and religious figures in foreign policy. The professor joins me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
And Tony Arendt joins us from a studio at Georgetown University. Tony, welcome to you.
My pleasure.
Well, Tony, let me begin with you over there at Georgetown, because in a program a few years ago that we had, another Encounter program, you said that soon after Pope Francis was elected, you thought he would be quite a consequential pope, that his influence would transcend the papacy. Well, it appears that you were right, whether on climate change, immigration, income inequality, and on some of the more traditional issues, abortion, religious freedom. He has made a mark, especially on this first visit to the United States. Talk about your impression of the visit.
Well, I think it has truly been remarkable. And I think much of it has been remarkable because of his approach. The Pope is a very humble person, and he emphasizes helping others, serving the poor, reaching out to the most disenfranchised people among us, helping the immigrants, acknowledging himself that he is an immigrant, and that we all have to be open, that we have to take very seriously climate change, and emphasizing the fact that climate change is real and it must be addressed now, else future generations will suffer dire consequences. I think so much of the Pope's approach is him. He's not saying anything that hasn't been said before, but rather than coming out as doctrinal and lambasting individuals for various things, he's coming out as a man who emphasizes love. He's coming out and speaking in the spirit of the gospel. It's not a new message. It's a 2,000-year-old message. And yet the way he is conveying it, I have to think, was the way it was conveyed 2,000 years ago. And this is resonating with the people. It's resonating with Catholics. It's resonating with non-Catholics. I thought it was extraordinarily significant that at his homily at St. Patrick's Cathedral, he began by praying for the Muslims who were trampled to death at the Hajj, emphasizing the brotherhood of people of all faiths. This is just having a profound impact and will continue to have a profound impact. Now, whether we see new policy coming about in any immediate sense remains for all to be seen. But I think he has been changing the hearts of people and hoping to bring change through that process.
Turning to my guest here in the studio, Marianne Kusumanu-Love, your impression of Pope Francis' visit here in the United States.
I think what we see with Pope Francis is that he speaks the language of action, and actions speak louder than words. And people respond to that. His message resonates because they can see he's walking the walk, not just talking cheap talk. And I think we also see, I would agree with Anthony, that people around the world, not just Catholics, are responding to his message, because I think we see wisdom doesn't get old, as the movie slogan is saying these days, and that people are recognizing in him ancient wisdom about the need to put people first, to put the least among us first, and to recognize our common humanity, our common human family, and our need to work together. He's been consistent in his discussion of what I call the four P's: people, poverty, the planet, and peace. And he doesn't see these things as a political platform or separate political agendas. He sees these as all deeply integrated, just as Jesus of Nazareth and our ancient religious figures saw these as deeply related. That if we know who we are and we know that we are all a part of one common human family, we have to treat each other that way. And that results in concrete actions in the way we live our lives. I think people respond to that language of action.
Back to you, Tony Aaron. On Catholic doctrine, he also talked about issues such as abortion, particularly in his address to the U.S. Congress. Of course, he is opposed to abortion, and yet he had a softer tone on divorce. He didn't please everybody. What was his message on Catholic doctrine?
Well, if you look at his address to Congress, he emphasized the consistency of Catholic doctrine in valuing life at all stages. And that obviously would include the unborn. But what he emphasized was the death penalty and the need to abolish the death penalty. Again, this is perfectly consistent with Catholic doctrine. One thing I would add, and I love the idea of the four P's, I also think inherent in what Francis has been saying is the L word, if I might, love. And while some people may not share the specifics of Catholic doctrine, when it begins with love, with not judging others, with forgiveness, with reconciliation, that's something which every human being in their core knows to be true.
Marianne Kusumanu-Love, your take on Catholic doctrine as Pope Francis explained it, or as he characterized it here in the United States, how is he different from his predecessors?
He is a pastor in chief, and every one of his instincts are pastoral. Again, putting people first. So he recognizes we are all fallen. His famous first interview as Pope began with, how would you describe yourself? And he said, I am a sinner. I think most people would not lead with that. I am a sinner. And that is how he consistently presents himself, that I'm no better. I'm a sinner. We are all sinners. Yet we are all redeemed and can redeem each other and raise and heal each other through this power of love. It makes it so accessible for people who've either been alienated by the church or who are part of other religions, who are skeptical of religion. They can emphasize and resonate with that language of love and see the love in his actions, not only his words.
We'll take a short break right back.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
Back to Encounter, where we're talking about the historic visit by Pope Francis to the United States. And back to you, Tony Aaron, over there at Georgetown University. Certainly, there was a policy message in Pope Francis's words here in the United States. He talked very passionately about the need for addressing climate change. He talked about immigration and income inequality. So let's take a look at his message, particularly as it converges with President Barack Obama's agenda. How important are his positions on these issues, as well as immigration, and to what extent do you think they can influence particularly some Republicans, many of whom are on the other side of these issues, climate change, immigration reform?
You know, it's a very difficult issue. My sense is that the science is extraordinarily clear. Pope Francis understands that the science is extraordinarily clear. And at the White House ceremony the other day, he commended President Obama on moves to do something about climate change. But it almost seems as though for some individuals, it is a matter of, if I can use the word faith, as opposed to science. There seem to be some individuals you can present the scientific data, you can bring in the very best scientific minds in the world. They can show you the increase in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, they can show you the depletion of the glaciers, they can show you the inundation of islands that are taking place, and people simply don't believe, almost as a matter of faith. I'm not sure some individuals can be convinced. However, we don't need to convince every individual, we just need to convince a large majority of individuals who can take some kind of action. And I think if anyone would be on the fence, what the Pope is saying may add an extra level of credibility to the people that say climate change is real. The one problem is it's very easy for a politician to dismiss the Pope in talking about climate change simply by saying, well, he doesn't have a PhD in science, even though he did actually train in science.
Yes, indeed, he's a chemist by training.
Exactly. But people that are in that category, people for whom this becomes some kind of strange tenet of faith, his statements may not convince them. However, there are a lot of other people that may be convinced. And as I said, you don't need to convince everybody. You just need to convince an overwhelming majority to move and get action.
Turning to Marianne Cusimano-Love here in the studio. Marianne Cusimano-Love, can his moral authority, and one could even argue his scientific authority, given his background, help advance some of these items on President Obama's agenda in the remaining year?
Yes, he's already had an impact. In the encyclical on the environment, no one is ever let off the hook. All of us have responsibilities, and his actions, again, are completely consistent with that. He's been putting in more green technologies at the Vatican. He's been asking all religious orders and Catholic organizations to do an accounting of their own care for the earth. He held a meeting this summer of mayors of the key cities and regional governments around the world, and he invited them all to come to New York at the same time as the meeting at the United Nations to declare their own commitment to reduce carbon emissions and to take action on climate change. So he's made it very clear we don't need to sit around and twiddle our thumbs and wait for either congressional Republicans, who might be a stumbling block in the U.S. Congress, or for members of the United Nations who might be less willing to act. He's urging us all to act in our own arenas, and he's been getting great results. So this meeting of the mayors have just announced some great reductions in climate change, and together account for about the third largest country in the world if those cities were all put together and treated as a country. So he's already having a great impact. And I think that's the creativity of his approach, is to not just be restricted to speaking at the governmental level, but to be speaking to all people and trying to get action wherever he can.
Indeed, and when speaking to people, these are grassroots and they can potentially influence their members of Congress. You're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. My guests are Anthony Arend, we call him Tony, professor of government and foreign service at Georgetown University here in Washington, and Marianne Cusimano-Love, associate professor of international relations at the Catholic University of America here in Washington. And we are talking about the substance and symbolism of Pope Francis's historic visit to the United States. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA or connect with us on Facebook. You may also send an email to encounter@voanews.com. Tell us where you're from and how you listen to the program. Here's a shout out to a loyal listener, Al-Bashir Yakubu from Bauchi State in northern Nigeria. If you want to hear your name on the show, please send an email once again to encounter@voanews.com or like us on Facebook. Well, back to you, Tony Arend at Georgetown University, to talk about another contentious issue, and that of immigration reform here in the United States. Again, the nexus between policy, morality, and politics. He, of course, spoke to the U.S. Congress, many of whom were reluctant to go forward on immigration reform. But he, of course, underscored that he was born of Italian immigrants who could just as easily have come to New York or Philadelphia, but they went to Buenos Aires during that great age of immigration. He talked about his background with great pride. Do you think he moved the dial at all on that issue here in the United States among skeptics?
I'll go back to the changes in the hearts of individuals. I think everyone in the United States would agree that immigration is a problem, not just in the United States. As a matter of fact, this is mild compared to what's going on in the rest of the world, that it's a huge problem. But with respect to the United States, there's so many different views on how to address it politically. You have someone like Donald Trump on one end of the spectrum and Bernie Sanders on the other end of the spectrum, and everybody in between. The Pope's message was not a message of this is the policy you must adopt, but rather these are human beings. They have human dignity. They deserve to be treated as children of God. And if people could actually internalize that idea, then I think, going back to the excellent point that Marianne made, then individuals could start taking action, whether that is individuals in Europe housing Syrian refugees, whether it's parishes and churches and other religious organizations providing assistance and help. Individuals can take action. Now, how do we deal with problems at the U.S.-Mexican border? How do we deal with people that are in the United States that have been called undocumented immigrants? That's a harder question. However, if we were to approach it from the standpoint that these are individuals, these are human beings, they have human dignity, then the way we address the problem, I think, could be much more charitable. Right now, I fear that too many people are putting these individuals in categories. They're saying they're illegals, they're undocumented, and as you know, some people on the extremes are accusing them of being criminals and the like. Once you categorize someone like that, you've dehumanized them, and it's easy to engage in harsh policy actions. But when you rehumanize them and say, these are people like us, if you begin with that, then that can have an impact on how you then work collectively to implement a rational, reasonable, loving policy.
Marianne Cusimano-Love here in the studio. Do you think Pope Francis's humanization of immigrants, as Tony Arendt characterized it, can make a difference in moving the debate forward here in the United States?
Yes, because he's putting a voice out there that we haven't been hearing in the American political spectrum. You know, it's hard to hear sometimes the voice of Francis in the din of American presidential electoral politics, where Donald Trump said famously, you know, the number I would have of Syrian refugees allowed into the United States would be zero. And I would build a big wall. He's trying to instead move the dialogue in a very different way that focuses on our common humanity and actually that focuses on children, saying many of the immigrants, many of the refugees are children, are youth. They are fleeing for their lives, or they're trying to find a better life, or their families are trying to find a better life for them. So he's drawing, again, that our common humanity. He's challenging Americans to live up to our own historic goals and our own history, saying this country was founded by families of immigrants. They made wonderful contributions, and we need to remember the contributions that immigrants bring. And he's challenging us to live up to our own ideals.
Indeed. Well, I would make a slight distinction between the immigration debate here in the United States with respect to mostly undocumented workers coming from Mexico in particular, and those fleeing from conflict in from Syria in particular, although there is convergence.
Well, the Pope always links those together, and he notes that people coming from Central America into the United States are both fleeing violence, the gang violence, and the cycles of violence that were the result after the civil wars of Latin America. And that's similar to Syrian and Iraqi refugees who are also fleeing violence. So he always links those two together to make us, again, remember our common humanity. And he also reminds us that Jesus was a refugee. Jesus was a migrant. And these are modern-day holy families.
Well, back to you, Anthony Arendt, over there at Georgetown University. What about any negative feedback or negative fallout from the Pope's visit here in the United States? I know that's hard to come by, but there have been criticisms, particularly his coming on the heels of his visit to Cuba, where he played a key role in brokering the restoration of diplomatic relations between the United States and Cuba for the Obama administration, something that they champion, but others do not. He met with Fidel Castro, he met with the leadership, but not with any members of the dissident community inside or outside of prison, that he could have done more. What are your thoughts?
Anyone that comes at any issue from an ideological perspective where every single thing has to fit into that worldview, will disagree with people who do things that aren't consistent with that. I think the one thing that comes across from the Pope, one of the many things, is his sincerity. He is speaking from his heart. He's speaking from a heart in a 2,000-year-old faith tradition, and he's shaking up everybody's belief. If someone is on the right, they may not like what he says on certain issues. If someone is on the left, they may not like what he says on another set of issues. That's good. His job is to make everybody a little bit uncomfortable. I know he's been compared many times to some of the great prophets in the Hebrew scriptures, someone like a Jeremiah or an Isaiah or a Micah. The idea is to make you squirm in your seats. Now,
what critics are saying, he didn't make the Castro squirm enough. The dissidents he didn't meet with.
Well, how do we know that he didn't make Castro squirm? When you meet an individual, you have to adapt your behavior to that individual. So again, if you go back to the Gospels, when Jesus was there with the woman who was caught in adultery, they say, "I condemn you." He said, "Let he who is without sin throw the first stone. I'm meeting you where you are." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Now where I'm going there is he, Jesus, used the technique that was most appropriate to that person at that time. We don't know what he said to Fidel. We don't know the extent to which he made Raul squirm, if you will. But we can say this, his reaching out may have been the kind of thing that would help change some hearts there. So I think in this case, we need to give the Pope the benefit of the doubt. If we look at the broad scope of things he said, whether it's about Cuba or whatever, there's enough, I think, to make everybody squirm. But the fact that he's meeting with Fidel, that he's meeting with Raul, that's a start. Maybe that's how you have to begin this. Plus, the Pope is brilliant, and he's got to be calculating, well, how long is Fidel going to be around? How long is Raul going to be around? This act of reaching out, of cooperation, of embracing, reaches beyond Raul and Fidel and reaches to the Cuban people. And that's ultimately where change will occur.
And the last word to you here in the studio, Marianne Cusimano-Love, to underscore any negativity that may have emerged from the visit. Some of the critics, whether those who criticized him for not meeting with dissidents in Cuba or for his remarks, which were not considered strong enough vis-a-vis sexual abuse by priests here in the United States. Any final thoughts?
He is urging us to a process of encounter and a path of dialogue. He consistently uses those words. He does not see this as a one and done. You shake someone's hand, you talk to someone, and all of the difficulties go away in the blink of an eye. He says we have to meet people where they are and then walk along the path with them. And that means walking with unpopular people. Mm-hmm. The Castros, whether it's the Iranian regime, it means meeting with people, speaking with people. You don't get to make peace with Mother Teresa and Gandhi. You get to make peace with people with blood on their hands. And you don't get to peace by ignoring those individuals, acting as if they don't exist. You have to meet them where they are and try to move along this process of dialogue. It's very difficult. He's not advocating cheap talk. He's advocating doing things that take us out of our comfort zone. And he says this all the time. We know we're making progress when we're all acting outside of our comfort zone. And in his words at Catholic University, he said, "Siempre adelante." Always moving forward, always moving forward. So the metric isn't whether we've achieved all peace and justice in our time. The metric is whether we're always at least moving forward on this path of dialogue and encounter.
And we shall see in the coming months and years to what extent we will be moving forward and to what extent Pope Francis will have a major impact on policies that affect all of us. And on that note, I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this edition of Encounter. I'd like to thank my guests, Anthony Tony Arendt, Professor of Government and Foreign Service at Georgetown University, and Marianne Cusimano-Love, Associate Professor of International Relations at the Catholic University of America. Thanks so much to both of you for your terrific insights. Encounter was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guests. Our engineer was Justin Thwaites. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on the Voice of America.